Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. Happy Wednesday. How is everybody doing? I hope you guys are doing well. Today I have author and TEDx speaker, Christian De La Huerta on, and he's going to join me in just a few moments. For those of you who listen to my show every week, thank you for returning to listen to it again. And for those of you who are new to my show and are listening for the first time, welcome. A little about me. I am also an author and a photographer, and my book is titled Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And in my book, there are 30 manifesting stories along with photographs that I took of the contributors' manifesting postcards. And in it, I include writing exercises that helps us get clear on what we want to manifest, and a toolbox full of fun tips, tools, exercises on how to manifest love, money, health, career, abundance, and much more. So if you're interested in doing inner work and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, inspiration, and manifesting, please go to your favorite bookstore and purchase a copy. Now, each week I share a magical message that I like to post on Mondays, and it's an image of a manifesting postcard that I photograph with an affirmation that I like to focus on for the week, because I believe using affirmations daily is a powerful way for it to become a new belief in our lives. Now, this week's magical message is a little different. This one is, you will find the love of your life. So I was traveling last week, and I was in this little town, Eureka Springs, which is a really cool town, by the way, a very artsy, like totally up my alley. And I was walking through the forest, lots of trees there, beautiful weather. It was really, really nice. And I was actually thinking, what was I going to do for this week? And I happened to come upon a sign, literally, in the woods. I mean, seriously, it was just laying against a rock, and it said, you will find the love of your life. And I thought, that's really interesting. So, of course, I took a picture of it. And I thought, well, yeah, we all want the love of our life, right? But what about the love of our life being ourself, right? Self-love, because we're with ourselves from the moment we're born till the moment we die and every other life after that in eternity. So we might as well figure out a way to really find true self-love. And self-love is our fuel. It's the foundation for who we are and what we are, and everything that comes to us builds on top of that foundation. And if your self-love isn't solid, it shows up in your life. And for those of us who have experienced the power of self-love, you can see that the effects can often feel really magical. The moment we start loving ourselves, we experience shifts, and they're positive shifts. Doesn't mean we have everything we want, but we start to feel really good in our own skin, and life begins to move forward, I believe, with more ease. And I think things manifest and come to us much quicker when we have self-love and self-worth. And loving ourselves first and creating that deep internal relationship has countless magical benefits. And in order to create that loving relationship with yourself, you have to recognize, what are your needs? We have to ask ourselves, what are our needs? We're always asking what everybody else in our life needs. What do you need? What do our friends need? What do our families need? Our partners, our spouses, our children, our parents, everybody else's needs. What about your needs? The first thing I would do is identify your needs and make them a priority in your life. And it's not about being selfish. Self-love is about being compassionate to yourself. And I find if you can do at least one daily act of self-love a day to show yourself that you have respect, love, and care in your life, you're going to see things shift and change dramatically. So find something that makes you feel good, something that makes you feel like a little gift that you can give to yourself, and do one little act a day and just see how that shifts your life. So it was really cool that I discovered that as I was exploring a new town with my camera, and I thought, how perfect, right? There's no accidents. So if you want to see my magical messages that I post each week, you can find them across any of my social media platforms, Postcards to the Universe. And if you happen to be on Facebook and you want to join a group to feel inspired, I have a Facebook group. It's public, called Postcards of Love. So you can find me over there too. Okay, so next week I have as my guest, Beau Bissette. Beau is an, this is new to me, ammo knee healing guide in charge of exposing the self-awareness necessary to find the healing inside us to make lasting changes. And ammo knee is a blended philosophy incorporating kinesiology, which is muscle testing, meridian release points, pranayamic breathing, and NLP. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to share with us next week. But to get to and to introduce you to my guest today, Christian de la Huerta, award-winning author and TEDx speaker. Christian is a sought-after spiritual teacher, personal transformation coach, and leading voice in the breathwork community. He is the founder of Soulful Power, offering transformational retreats and workshops, awakening participants to their deeper sense of purpose, empowering radical internal and external shifts. And Christian says, quote, when participants can uncover and overcome long-held fears that hold them back, this is when they begin to experience the true joy and fulfillment of living on purpose, which also allows them to become catalysts for our planet's spiritual and cultural evolution. And that's an end quote from Christian. And you can find out more about him if you go to his website, soulfulpower.com. That's soulfulpower.com. Welcome, Christian. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. So I'm going to let you share in your own words a little bit about who you are and how you got into the kind of work that you're doing today.
Well, first of all, I want to say, you know, how much I resonated with your opening talk about self-love and the difference between selfishness and self-care. Mm-hmm. Totally in agreement with that. And for me, the journey to self-love was long. My adolescence was one long depression, you know, with suicidal thoughts here and there. You know, nothing serious, but I did fantasize about it. And the beauty and the power of this work that you and I are pointing to, the work of self-healing and self-transformation, is that flash forward to today, and no matter what the details are in my life, no matter what the circumstances, whether a relationship works out or it doesn't, whether a project whether a project succeeds or it fails, in quotes, I never, ever, ever do I question my sense of self, my self-worth, my self-love are like firmly established. Mm-hmm. And I know that if that can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. And it's part of what I, you know, what I talk about, the journey that I carry the reader through in this new book that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, that's really interesting. No, you're right, because if you have deep self-love and appreciation for yourself, and something that you're creating, say, fails, right? It just doesn't take off the ground. You don't berate yourself like somebody who would criticize themselves, who would say, oh, you're a failure, you're a loser. This is how we talk to ourselves, right? But somebody who has deep self-love would say, maybe this wasn't what I was supposed to do. There's a reason this didn't work out. This is going to lead me in another direction. You don't berate yourself for something not succeeding when you have true self-love. And people are terrible the way they talk to themselves. Terrible.
Oh my God, the things we tell ourselves inside of our heads, we would never, ever say to anybody else.
Never.
We have such a harsh inner judge inside of our heads. And what you're talking about also extends to relationships, because, you know, we think that if a relationship didn't last till, you know, till quote unquote death do us part, then it was failed. It's like, wait a minute, somebody made that up along the way. My belief is that as long as we're growing, as long as growth is happening and we're learning and we're becoming better human beings, more empowered human beings, more heart-based human beings as a result of a relationship, then it worked. There's no failure necessary there.
Exactly. It took me a while to get that. It took me a while to understand that. The relationship didn't fail. It just served its time, and I got what I got out of it, and they got what they got out of it, and it was time to move on, right? That doesn't mean it was a failure because we didn't stay together right till death do us part, right? Some relationships are not meant to, and nowadays, you know, I think more and more people are growing through relationships and not staying in places where they probably really shouldn't, you know? Where before we kind of did that. So, yeah. And it is. It's all about self-regard and self-love and self-esteem and putting our own needs first, because I find that when I'm depleted, I'm no good to anybody else. Right?
Right, right. Which goes back to what that discussion about selfishness and self-care. Mm-hmm. Because we are conditioned to believe that self-care is selfish. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's the opposite way around. It's like you know, the metaphor when we first ride an airplane, when we get on an airplane, the first thing they tell us, put on your mask first before True. Even that of a child. Mm-hmm. And that's because if we're not taking care of self, we're not good for anybody. And for anybody who's listening to this kind of a podcast, Postcards mm-hmm. to the Universe, we're all so, you know, service-oriented people. We're about making a difference in this world, about healing ourselves, about healing the world and healing others. And here's a way that's helpful to think about service. Think of it about the service to kind of like a three-prong, the tripod, service to the sacred, you know, service to the universe. Another one is service to humanity, service to the earth. The third one is service to self. If we don't take care of that one, the tripod can't stand. And then what happens is that service turns into resentment and it turns into servitude, and we start getting bitter about it because we're giving and not receiving. And it's because we haven't put that into the equation, which is self-care.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I, you know, as it's like you said in the beginning, you said it was a long road for you to get where you are, right? And it's been a long mm-hmm. road. There's been a lot of painful experiences that I know you've had, that I've had in my life, that have taught me some serious lessons and have made me look at things differently and made me ask different questions, you know, about what I'm doing, what's my purpose, why am I here? There's got to be a bigger reason. And I know you do that too. So I really want to talk about soulful power. So why don't you share a little bit about what soulful power is?
Well, let me zoom out a little bit and start by saying that most of us have an ambivalent, and I would even say conflicted, relationship to power. Mm-hmm. Part of us wants it, part of us is afraid of it. And I think what we fear is that if we really stepped into our power, if we really beat all of who we are, then other mm-hmm. people wouldn't be able to handle it, and we'd end up rejected and alone, and who wants that? Mm-hmm. We also fear that we might abuse it, and no wonder. All we got to do is turn on the news any given day to witness at least one abuse of power.
Right.
Then we've also been conditioned to believe that power is a negative thing, power is a bad thing, with quotes like, power corrupts, and absolute mm-hmm. power corrupts absolutely. What they didn't tell us about that quote is that Lord Acton was speaking specifically about political power, not mm-hmm. personal power, which is what right. we're talking about here. And so when you add to that mix the fact that we've been conditioned to also believe that the emotions are weakness, and you know, especially men, little boys don't mm-hmm. cry, and so many faulty assumptions in that, like, why don't little boys cry? Because only little girls do, and that's weakness? Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. We can take away those assumptions really, really easily, that the feminine is weakness or that the emotions are weakness. But what happens is when you put all that into the mix, we end up giving away our power, our innate, inherent power that nobody can give us. Nobody can take it away. We are the only ones who can give it away. And the sad part, Melissa, is that the lamest of reasons that we give it away for. We say yes when inside we feel no for an illusion of security. We stuff ourselves into tiny little boxes so as to not rock the boat, for a false sense of acceptance, and we settle for crumbs of pseudo love. And so it's not an effective strategy. So what this book talks about is how do we step into power in a way that's not about hierarchy, control, fear, force, domination? How do we step into power in a way that doesn't require that we push anybody down, step on them, in order for us to feel powerful?
And yeah, when you have true self-love and self-esteem, you don't want to step on anybody else anyway. That's another thing that's wonderful about it, because it's the people that feel insecure and are ego-based that want to step on other people, not the people that really love themselves, because that love, it comes out of our hearts. We want others to love themselves also, right? Because if everybody loved themselves 100%, what would this world look like? A lot different than it looks right now.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. And that's why I love that you started it out with that. Because that's the bottom line, right? Mm-hmm. Self-love. And how do we get there? I mean, first of all, is self-awareness. We can't do mm-hmm. anything about something we're not aware of. So first of all, we got to spend some time and figure out why we do the things we do. Why do we attract certain kind of people into our life? Why do we get triggered mm-hmm. by some people and not others? Mm-hmm. Why do we get stuck in these ruts of behavior and patterns of self-sabotage in our relationships that sometimes feel like it's the same boring movie? Might be a different mm-hmm. actor, different co-lead, but the same kind of crap coming up, the same argument, the same stuff. And so at some point, we got to get honest and say, hey, wait a minute, there's only one common denominator in every one of these relationships, these arguments, and it's me. So why do we do the things we do? And so self-awareness opens the door to self-acceptance, which then makes possible self-love.
That's perfect. Okay, so we just came up to our first break. So let's take our break here because there's more things I want to talk about. Especially I want to talk with you about boundaries. I think that's important. Stay tuned, guys, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged / developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
Welcome back. So if you're just joining me today, I have author of Soulful Power and TEDx speaker, Christian De La Huerta on, and we were talking about self-love and personal power before the break, so we're going to continue this conversation. And I was thinking, you said something before about we get, sometimes when we give our power away, we end up being resentful, right? Because
yes.
We're not honoring ourselves. So to me, that has a lot to do with boundaries. And I read something somewhere and I thought it was really interesting and I never forgot it, that no is a complete sentence. Like, you don't have to say no because I have to dot, 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 dot. If somebody asks you something you can do, you can just say no. And that is still difficult for me to do. But it's so true. No is a complete sentence. Why do I have to give you a reason why I don't want to do something? Right?
Yeah. I think most of us have struggled with that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the beginning again, to the beginning of the conversation. It goes back to self-love. And the deeper that we know each ourselves, the deeper that we get to fall in love with ourselves. And the stronger our sense of self, the stronger our self-esteem, the less that we depend on anything outside of ourselves. We don't need any external validation. We don't need anybody's approval. We don't depend on what anybody thinks or says or what society or the culture or anybody thinks we should say or do or be with our lives. And so boundaries come from that. It's part of self-care. So getting very clear about what works for us, what doesn't work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to communicate that courageously, because, it takes courage, compassionately, and gracefully, meaning in a way that it can be heard. So not pointing the finger, not accusing, not making the other person wrong. But just getting really, really clear about ourselves, our emotions, what's right for us and what's not, connects back to power. That's part of that soulful power that you were asking me about before the break, and so part of the way that we solve that conflict, that ambivalence about power, is realizing that there are different kinds of power, that we're talking about different things. So, for example, I talk about worldly power or ego power.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that the way that the world thinks about power. So we tend to associate power with people who are famous, who have money, who are high up in some kind of, some kind of hierarchy, whether it's the corporate ladder or some kind of institution. But the thing about all those kinds of power is that they're outside of us. And because they're outside of us, they're fickle. They can be here today and gone tomorrow.
Sure.
As many people have discovered in the pandemic, with companies, jobs disappearing and companies going belly under. Going belly up. And so that worldly kind of power also has an agenda. So it's always trying to get something for itself. And it's trying to prove how powerful it is. So it's self-aggrandizing. It blows itself up to seem bigger than it actually is. Whereas the other kind of power, soulful power, spiritual power, comes from within. Like, it's inside each and every one of us. And like I said before, nobody can take it away from us. It's in there. We're the only ones who give it away. And it's humble. It's about service rather than selfishness or trying, like an agenda. It doesn't have an agenda. And it's humble, meaning that it doesn't need to prove anything to anybody. So I think about, a Gandhi or a Gandalf, if you're into the Lord of the Rings, in their simple monastic robes, their sandal feet, you would never know from looking at them how much power they hold until it's necessary, and then get out of the way. Right. Gandhi brought the British Empire to its knees when it was at its highest point in terms of global reach without shooting a single gun or landing a single punch. Talk about power.
That's power, yeah. Wow. So, yeah, that really is. I think of power internal as a feeling of, for me, just when you talk about it, it feels like somewhere deep inside, no matter what is swirling on around you, that feeling like I'm going to be okay. Like, I'm going to be okay no matter what is going on. Somewhere I'm just going to be okay. Like, it's like a grounding feeling. Would you consider, would that be a symptom of feeling a soulful power inside yourself?
Sure. Okay. Sure. It's having that attitude, that relationship with life, you know, rather than walking through life like either combatively, like it's me against the world, or completely victimized, as though, well, what life has done to me, if only this or if only that hadn't happened, or if only the system wasn't this, or the system was set up a different way, if only, if only, if only. That's a very victim relationship to life.
Yeah.
And so what you're talking about is like it's such a level of grounded empowerment. It's like, okay, life, here I am. Mm-hmm. I know that no matter what curveballs you throw my way, because it will, life will continue throwing curveballs our way. But I know that I can always choose how I respond, how I show up in response to that. Mm-hmm. And that simple reframe is like, all right, it's sort of like an I got this relationship to life. And that's incredibly empowering, and it's very centered. So I think I think you're in South Florida too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in South Florida, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I know, you're a Miami guy. I know, you're a Miami guy.
currently, but right now I'm in Ecuador, but I've lived, my family's in Miami, so I've lived in and out of Miami through most of my life. But it's, so we know storms, right? We know hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the eye of the storm thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's the eye of the storm. No, so we allow people's expectations, their judgments, what the system is set up to be, you know, the other people's dramas, all that kind of stuff. We allow it to surround us, and we don't have to engage. We don't have to get sucked into it. That's going through life centered, aware and present, and maintaining our ground. That's empowerment too.
Yeah. And it's okay if you get pulled off track, right? I mean, it happens to all of us. We're not perfect. We're here to learn. So you may get triggered. You may get engaged. You may plug into something and you may say to yourself, oh, why did I go there? You know, but it's okay that you do that. You just got to get the tools to learn how to bring yourself back, you know, to get
yourself back. There's no, we're not going for perfectionism. You know, perfectionism doesn't even exist. Right? It's just an overcompensation.
You know, exactly.
And I'm a recovering perfectionist.
Okay.
But you know, because I had to be 4.0 in high school, 4.0 in college, teacher's fed, editor of the paper in high school, et cetera.
And
if we think about it, perfectionism is really overcompensating for not feeling good enough. So we have to go way out of our way and prove to the world and to ourselves that we are good enough. But the thing about that, as you know, is that it's insatiable.
Right.
Like, there's no amount of worldly success that is ever going to fill that little suppressed part of us that doesn't feel good enough. Like, in my case, I can't be president of the U.S. because I'm naturalized. But if I were, it wouldn't be enough. Then I'd have to be president of North America, and then North and South America, and then the Earth, and then the solar system, and on and on and on. It's just never enough. The only way through that is healing that little part of us that doesn't feel good enough.
Right.
And I know that can happen. I know that can happen because it happened to me.
Yeah, and we're a work in progress. I mean, if you're
always.
What did you say? You're a recovering perfectionist. I'm a recovering self-criticizer. You know, because it's like my mom would say, you were so hard on yourself, because I could criticize myself like no other. So I'm super hyper aware of what I say to myself now. I mean, not all the time, 100%, 24 hours a day. But oh, boy, I've come a long way. But I catch myself. Yeah. I mean, I can be vicious to myself, you know. So, yeah, those are things that we need to watch. And it's that feeling of not feeling good enough. I'm not enough. Enough for right. who? Who are you not enough for? That's the thing you got to ask right. yourself. When you think you're not enough, who are you not enough for? Right?
Right.
Right. And who, yeah, it's...
Yeah, whose standards are you comparing yourself to?
Exactly.
And what impossible standards, probably.
Right. I mean, and you know, the the media doesn't help and social media doesn't help because we... Perfectionism and everybody's perfect and their lives are perfect is all we see, but that's not the real story. That's just no, the glossy, that's just the glossy picture you're seeing. That's not the real story. Yeah.
Glossy and photoshopped.
And photoshopped. Oh, I know that to be true. I could spot a photoshopped picture a mile away. Oh my
yeah,
God.
And,
so,
and yet that, and yet
yeah,
we
that's
allow
what we think.
To compare it to, yeah, we
right.
compare ourselves to these impossible standards of beauty that are not even real.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody, of course, nobody, you know, nobody posts their garbage. Well, some people do, but most people don't post their, you know, I'm exhausted on Facebook. They, you know, they post their vacation shots, you know, not their
right,
dirty
exactly.
dishes, you know what I mean? Or their kids screaming and having meltdowns. That's not what they're
exactly.
posting. So I want to talk like we touched on boundaries, but I feel like it's important. So what would you suggest for us to develop, what should we be doing to try to develop healthy boundaries with other people in our lives, especially families? I mean, you're Cuban, right? You're Cuban?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm Italian. So we have big families, you know, sometimes they're codependent, they overstep, right? You know, so how do we establish healthy boundaries with, you know, especially family, but friends too. Sometimes we don't always want to say no. Like, what could we do?
Yeah, you know, it goes back to what we've been talking about. It goes back to self-esteem. Because the reason we override our true desires and our dreams and what we want is because out of fear of rejection or fear that they're not going to like us or whatever. And so the stronger the work is really on ourselves. So the stronger that we build our self-esteem, our self-love, then the more that we can stand on our own and be free as that eye of the storm and be free of what other people think and not need anybody's validation. And then we can make free choices, you know, like, do I really want to do that? And of course, sometimes we're going to do stuff that we don't want to do it out of love because we love them. But not out of some sense of guilt or you know, like the unhealthy motivators of that behavior. It's like we weave into that equation self-care. It's like, yeah, I really want to help you with, you know, clean out the garage, but I haven't had and I love you so and so, but you know what, I haven't had an open weekend in 3 months, and I really need to take care of myself this weekend. How else can I support you? Can I help hire somebody to help you clean?
Right.
So we talk it out. We work through this stuff. And yeah, sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes we have difficult, awkward conversations, but it's so much better for the relationship in the long run, because what we tend to do is we say yes, and when we feel no, and then like you were talking about before, we resent it. It turns into resentment. And then that stuff doesn't go away. It's just lingering under the surface. And then we start acting out on those suppressed resentments with, you know, passive aggressive behavior, with barred comments, with a joke that has a little hook on it. And so much better, much cleaner to be up front, and that also work entails getting clear. Like, we have to get clear first about what we like, what we don't like, what works for us, what doesn't work for us, before we can even communicate this to anybody else.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, you could just see how it manifests in road rage. I mean, the way people get crazy when they get cut off just tells you they're feeling resentful, boy. They're, you know, something in their own life, because that the road rage, when it's taken to it's just taken to levels that's not appropriate. So something's going on. There's a boiling point underneath, right? Because,
yeah,
you know,
without a doubt.
Somebody cuts you off, you roll your eyes and you move on. You know, you don't want to chase them down. And God, you know, we've heard terrible stories and people chase people with guns. It's insanity. So something is deeply going on inside. And that to me is, they're full of resentment, probably because they have no boundaries, and obviously they don't they don't love themselves because they wouldn't be doing that. So it's, we can see how it manifests in the world. We can see how it manifests. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it goes back to the emotions, right? Because how many times have we stuffed what we really felt and not said it because we were afraid to rock the boat or upset somebody, right? So, so we maintain that illusion of peace. And but that what used to be spiritual teaching, that everything is energy, now we know from quantum physics that everything is energy. So that means that this couch I'm sitting on, the table, the phone that I'm holding in my hand, the body, the emotions, it's all energy. And we know from physics, too, energy cannot be destroyed. So every time we suppress that stuff, it doesn't go away. It gets stuffed in the tissues of the body, and after years and decades and a lifetime of suppressing our emotions, we walk around with layers upon layers upon layers of unhealed past and repressed emotions. And then we're trying to have a relationship in the present, and it's all getting filtered through that, through that lifetime of suppression. And that's where we walk around like volcanoes, because what happens is that we stuff it, that energy is going to come out one way or another. So either we stuff it, and then the next unfortunate one comes and says that something the wrong way, and boom, explosion, volcanic eruption, which causes harm. You know, we cause harm to our relationships.
We do.
And we've all done that. We've all reacted and then regretted what we did or said. Every one of us has done that. Right.
Yeah,
and so then the other possibility is we suppress, that energy has to come out one way or another. So it starts seeping out and showing up as bodily symptoms, heart attacks, ulcers, cancer. So we've got to get this. We've got to get this. And we've got to learn how to accept our emotions, how to identify our emotions, and how to communicate them in a way that can be heard, right? Responsibly, not like a 2-year-old having a tantrum. But responsibly and courageously and compassionately.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with that, we're going to take our second break, and we'll talk more when we come back. So guys, stay tuned, and I'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Christian.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcomed to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back. So, Christian, before the break, we were talking about how unprocessed emotions manifest either outwardly or inwardly. And I'm one of those people that it manifests in my body. I'm super sensitive, and I'm an empath also. So my body will manifest something. And that's how I know something's going on.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I got to look at this. You know, why is this happening? Right? So,
right.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've had some things develop during the pandemic, which were unrelated to COVID, you know, so that's it. And it came up. So for me to do some more inner work, because it's always a process. It never stops. You never stop. It's like peeling an onion. There's always another layer underneath. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And you know what? How boring would it be if there was an end to it?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, oh, I could be a little bored for just a bit. Right?
Well, but yeah. You know, there are some things that stop. Like in my experience, mm-hmm. like I've stopped that self-inflicted mind F-bomb. Mm-hmm. You know, the number that we do on ourselves, like I've stopped that. Mm-hmm. And I can see it when it's trying to rear up its little head, and I can nip it at the bud.
Right.
I think there's always also an end to suffering. Mm-hmm. Not that there's an end to pain. There's always going to be pain in life. Like people are going to come, people are going to go, mm-hmm. loved ones are going to pass. Mm-hmm. We're going to witness mm-hmm. horrible tragedies in the world.
Right.
But it doesn't have to stick in us as suffering. And which goes back to the discussion of the emotions, because what happens is if we don't express our grief, mm-hmm. if we don't find a way to give it voice, it congeals, it turns into depression. And if we don't mm-hmm. express our anger, it turns into rage, as we were talking about before. So we've got to get this.
Yeah, we definitely have to. Mm-hmm. And you talk about self-sabotaging behaviors. So let's talk a little bit about that, because a lot of us do that, right? We'll be on a great path. We'll be doing so well. And then all of a sudden, we'll pick up that cigarette. We'll take that drink. We'll maybe go back to a relationship that's not good for us. Like, why do we do that?
I mean, it's a big conversation, and I think we've all done that too at some point.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, or a huge project, and there's an important meeting coming up, and we show up late, or we miss it, or something.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, so lots to say about that. In my retreats, we spend a lot of time on that, as to figuring out why we do the things we do. But another expression of that is with our relationships, like you started to talk about. That sometimes feels like in that same boring movie. Like I've been here before. Mm-hmm. I recognize this pattern. So why do we, that's why it's so important to do this work. And everything we're talking about, it takes work, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. come easy in the beginning. It becomes second nature the more we do it, and it becomes easier, but it's work. Mm-hmm. And that's why this book that we're talking about, Awakening the Soul of Power, which is the first of a series of three, it's mm-hmm. part of the series is titled Calling All Heroes, because mm-hmm. that's what we're talking about. It's heroic work. Like to be willing to ask these hard questions. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we believe the things that I believe? Why does this person trigger me? And when it doesn't trigger my friend Melissa, but it triggers me. So why does she get my goat? And why do we get stuck in these patterns of self-defeating and negative behaviors? And it's work, but it is incredibly, infinitely rewarding, because the ultimate outcome is freedom. So that we get to do what we want to do, and we get to do things out of choice, not because of we're being motivated by something unhealed in us that happened when we were 5 or 10 or 15. And we're still coming from that unhealed and repressed stuff because it was too intense to look at that age. We just weren't ready. But so like, for example, our parents got divorced, using that as an example. And when we were young, and like it's the case for so many. And rather, you know, like we didn't, at that age, we didn't understand about adult relationships. We didn't know anything about relationships. We didn't know about what was going on between them. We didn't know how they were taught to do relationships by their parents and their parents before that and their parents before that. We didn't know what was going on in their heads in terms of, you know, mental imbalances or chemical imbalances or substance abuse. We took it on. We made it about ourselves. Right. And so we reached these huge conclusions about ourselves. It's like, oh my God, how could daddy leave or how could mommy leave? Don't they love me? And then the deeper conclusion is like, well, what does it mean that they don't love me? What does it say about me? What's wrong with me? And there you go. But that's too intense for us to look at. So we suppress it. But again, just because we suppress it, it doesn't go away. That's been underneath the surface, impacting every one of our relationships. And if we're approaching a project or a relationship with that underlying belief that there's something wrong with me, well, there you go. That's why we sabotage ourselves, because we don't deserve it.
Really plays out in relationships. Especially romantic relationships. Romantic relationships are a perfect place to look at in your life about what's playing out. What subconscious stories are running the show? Because it brings everything right up to be healed. It's an opportunity for us to heal it, but most of us, what do you do? We run away from it. Oh, it's not working.
Exactly.
Oh, they're this.
Exactly.
And then we repeat it with the next person and the next person.
Exactly. And again and again. And those are the self-sabotaging patterns right there. And so what's important to do is that the only way out of that is to go inside and to face those inner demons and to remember stuff and to maybe feel stuff that's not fun to feel or remember. But it is so worthwhile, because what we get to is that we realize that those conclusions that we made about ourselves were not real. They weren't true. They were misunderstandings of young minds that just didn't know any better. And so it's important and necessary and heroic work.
Yeah, it is. It is heroic work. It's not for the faint of heart. But it's very rewarding when you see yourself getting through it. And when you can see the light at the end of the tunnel and you're like, oh, okay. You know, you're like, oh, okay. You know, you do. You feel the power. You feel inside powerful. It's good. Yeah. It's good stuff. It's not easy, but it's good.
No. It changes everything. Life changes. Our relationships actually have a chance of working. If you want to have a sense of personal empowerment, if you want to have a life that is filled with meaning, with purpose, you've got to go within. There's no way around it.
As far as
I can see.
Yeah, as far as I can see, too. And as far as anybody that I've ever talked to who's come out on the other side will say the same thing. They had to go through it. You have to go through it. You got to work through it. Now, you teach people breath work, too, because that helps us move some stored energy that's stuck in our bodies, right? Like if there's something that happened, maybe like something happened and we've processed it emotionally and we worked through it, but yet it still can be stored in our body, and that's having a hard time of our body to let go of it. And that's what the breath work does. Can you talk a little bit about
the
that?
And again, that's a huge other conversation.
Yeah, sure.
I have a TEDx talk about the power of the breath. But here's the gist of it. And so my father was a psychiatrist. My degree's in psychology. I was on a track to get a PhD. When I discovered breath work 30 years ago, I jumped tracks. I never went for a PhD. And here's why. And with all due respect for psychotherapy and the right hand, with clear goals, it can be profoundly healing and transformative and supportive. And we all know that you can sit on somebody's couch for 10, 20, 30 years because they come to me. After that length of time, rehashing the same old crap, and nothing has happened. Right. Why is that? Because that's because the trauma, what happened to us when we were 5 or 10 or 15 or whatever, is no longer lives in the mind. It has been somaticized and now lives in the body, in the tissues of the body. So no amount of talking about it alone is going to get to it.
Right.
Like understanding what happened and the effect of it, for sure, is better than not knowing at all. But often is not enough. I would say most of the time is not enough. And so what happens with the breath work is that it bypasses the mind, and we just breathe in a certain very powerful way for about an hour, an hour and a half. And that life force that we're breathing in and that we're taking on into our body clears, bypasses the mind, and it clears that stuff, that those unhealed experiences and those energy blockages that are in the body. And it's very powerful. It's not to be done initially. You know, you can be taught how to do it yourself, but initially it can be really powerful. Like people can relive whatever it was that was suppressed or repressed. Sure. People can have huge emotional releases, emotional cathartic moments. And it has permanent effects, and it heals at every level, Melissa. It heals not only emotionally and mentally, but also like spiritually and even physically. And yes, I know that sounds too good to be true, that from breathing, just from breathing, that can happen. But you know what? I can't argue with results. It works.
Right. Well, I believe it works because I believe in energy healing. And it's just another form of your moving the energy out of the way. So it makes total sense to me. Why wouldn't it work?
Yeah.
You know, if we, like you said in the beginning, we can prove now that everything is energy. It's proven scientifically. So why wouldn't emotions be an energetic, you know, dis-ease stored in the body?
Yeah,
why is that not possible? That, to me, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? I've worked with, and I think more and more people are opening up to that kind of thinking. Like, I've worked with high-level CEOs in high-tech industry and other industries and communications, millionaires, billionaires, all over the world, in China, in Silicon Valley. Mm. I'm going back in May, you know, spent 2 months in California, I'm going back in May, and it works. People have amazing, amazing, amazing results with it.
Sure. Yeah. Now, do you have to do it? Are you teaching it now in person back again? I mean, you said you're going there in May because of the pandemic. I know you said you stepped back a little bit from your workshops and everything. Are you doing those again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't started the workshops yet, but I have been working selectively one-on-one or with very small groups, you know, 8 to 10 people. And they take care of making sure everybody's vaccinated or that's had a COVID test, because you know, I've got to facilitate, I've got to create a safe environment, not only emotionally and psychologically and spiritually, which I can do, but now we have to weave in physically too. Like, we're going to be breathing powerfully together in the same room.
Right. And you don't want to be wearing a mask when you're trying to do
No, it
breathing
doesn't work.
Like that. It doesn't work.
I tried it and it doesn't work.
Right. Okay. Now, do you work with people like on Zoom, like online? If somebody's listening, if somebody's listening today and they're not anywhere near you, but they want to work with you to work through some old trauma that maybe they believe is stored, you can do it one-on-one through Zoom?
Selectively, you know, so I wouldn't work with somebody that I don't know anything about. But if it's somebody who comes referred by a therapist, somebody who has a support system back home, I have done those selectively. The thing is, like, you just never know what lies underneath the surface of the psyche and what's going to be triggered. Like, in person, I have no hesitation. Like, I know how to handle it, how to intervene, how to support, how to facilitate. Virtually, not so much.
Right. And yeah, that makes sense, because if something comes up and then they shut down the computer, they could be really...
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
I click, didn't think about it. There's nothing I can do.
Right, yeah.
Nothing I can do if they click. But I do have other programs, like virtual programs, that ease up and that don't necessarily have the breathwork component. Like, I have a year-long coaching program. And you know, I can do coaching one-on-one virtually. So there are a lot of different possibilities.
Okay. And you talk a lot about this, all of the work that you're doing in your book. Yes. So anybody can read your book and see the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't think they can.
They can definitely, the book is accessible anywhere. You can get it at your local bookstore if you want to support them, and you can get it on Amazon. In terms of reaching me, they can probably, my website is the best way to do that. So soulfulpower.com. And for anybody who goes to soulfulpower.com and gets on my email list, and we all know you got to click unsubscribe if it doesn't work for you down the road. But for anybody who signs up, we'll send them a copy of a sample chapter from the book that talks about what it means to live heroically in the 21st century. We'll send them some power practices that are designed to integrate those teachings so that they don't stay at the level of information. Right? We don't need more information. We've got information overload. What we need is transformation. And that comes from really taking on the stuff and applying it to our lives. And then we'll send them a recorded teaching and guided meditation, short, I think 15 minutes or so, the both of them. And it's about trust. And I created that in the midst of the pandemic. So helping people to find that place of eye of the storm in the midst of crisis. You know, how do we find a place of trust in the midst of crisis and uncertainty and chaos?
Yeah, it's true. Well, thank you so much. I mean, we only have like 10 seconds, 30 seconds maybe before we end. But it's been such a pleasure having you on today, Christian. I learned a lot. And I think people really got a lot out of listening to you talk about being, you know, powerful in our own bodies and our own souls and our own hearts. It's really important to find that inner power. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it really will change your life. So, guys, please check him out. Go to his website, Soulful Power. Thank you, Christian, for being here. And thank you guys for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. And, of course, I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.